What is up, everybody? Welcome on into April 26th, Sunday, the day after the 2026 NFL Draft. Congratulations, gentlemen, Jeff, Mario, Coleman. You've survived the grueling coverage
we
of the NFL Draft. It's in the books. The Saints have themselves quite a haul. 8 picks for the black and gold. Looking forward
and to one. I keep looking at the draft list and being like, why do I feel like there's a name not there? And it's because there is. You kind of drafted Tyree Wilson.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, we'll talk a lot about that. But
and the Cajun Cannon, actually, Bobby Hebert is considering Vernon Broughton part of this year's class too. Throw in another one.
Right. What yesterday I was kind of looking around, like, and you add the free agent class to the draft class, and like you said, Vernon Broughton and Tyree Wilson. It's like, You think about what training camp's going to look like. It's like, I can't remember a year, and I've been doing this for like 10 years. I've been covering the team for like 10 years. So this, my firsthand experience only goes back that far. But I can't remember a year since I've been here that there's been this many pieces, and we'll go through the pieces, but like significant players who are either going to have a starting role or a major role, rotational role, that just were not here last year. Like complete turnover. There's going to be players cut this year that are kind of mainstay names. You're just like, oh, yeah, they're here. No. But, man, this has been a wild offseason.
You're thinking, you're already gone to down to trimming down the roster.
I can't help myself. I'll have a roster projection by the end of the week.
I thought they're going to tell me by the end of the day.
Well, I mean, I've already kind of gone through it in my head, particularly a wide receiver. I couldn't help myself. It's just like 15 names there. It's like, we're going to cut some guys. But let's go through it, right? Let's go through it. 8 names. The Saints did trade a pick. They traded the 150 pick for Tyree Wilson. We'll go through that later on. But they couldn't help themselves. They had to get the number 219 pick. I want to have a debate with you over whether this constitutes trading down, because I do think that it's important when you consider next year we're going to be able to say it's the 20-year reunion of the last time the Saints traded down, unless you count this one, where they traded the 150, they got back Tyree Wilson and the 219. Technically, they traded a pick for a lesser pick. I don't know. I had a debate about it in the media room. No one agreed with me. I think Mickey would prefer if we did so we could stop talking about it. But
I'm not including it, Robin. I digress.
Draft class. Number one. I'm sorry. First round, number 8 overall, Jordan Tyson, wide receiver, Arizona State. You know, we talked a lot about this on the podcast, on the show. Were the Saints going to take the risk? Were they comfortable with the medicals? Clearly they were. Going forward, round 2, Christian Miller. I think he goes by Chris. Well, we can start calling him Chris, but his name is Christian Miller.
I think I saw C-Mill even, too.
C-Mill, a defensive tackle out of Georgia. Both high personality guys. We'll talk about that. Then tight end Oscar Delp, another Georgia guy.
Back-to-back
Bulldogs, and also the third set of teammates in 2 years that the Saints have drafted. They took 2 guys out of Texas last year. They took 2 guys out of Louisville last year. They took 2 guys out of Georgia this year. First time they had done that since 2016, when they took Michael Thomas and Von Bell out of Ohio State, both second-round picks. So,
and those two guys, too, have a bond even deeper than the college days.
They go back to 8th grade, right, kind of meeting on, and all these guys play against each other in like football camps and stuff, right? So then you go into day 3, and the Saints didn't wait long to get another big boy. Jeremiah Wright, offensive guard out of Auburn, you know, kind of a developmental kind of interior line prospect, which is what they need. Again, a people mover, forklift type guy.
Plus, you know how the offensive linemen get banged up throughout the season. You're going to see Jeremiah Wright somewhere along the line because of injuries.
Oh yeah, I'm not
wishing it on anyone. It's just how it goes.
What everything from the 3rd round on for this draft is how can we develop elite depth, right? So
exactly,
that when someone gets hurt, we're not going into the bargain bin, right? We have a guy that we drafted and we feel really good about who could potentially be a starter. You know, this isn't a guy that's like, maybe they can be a competent NFL player. It's like, no, maybe, okay, Chris Olave gets hurt. Yeah, well, we'll go to that. But so Oscar Delp, tight end out of Georgia, right? So Noah Fant goes down. Jawan Johnson goes down. You're not saying, well, maybe this 7th round pick, maybe this UDFA can step in. It's like, no, you have a 3rd round pick who you have really high opinion of, who has really strong abilities and a physical traits that you can throw in there and potentially, you know, show his ability as a starter. Like,
plus, who's to say Kellen won't use 3 tight ends?
Well, right. He's going to get on the field. But my point is, your replacement level players are now kind of potential starter development players, as opposed to, you know, a UDFA who, okay, maybe they can be an NFL player. We don't know. Anyway, continuing. Day 3, Bryce Lance, wide receiver, North Dakota State, little brother of Trey Lance. So the brothers in this draft class. We got another one coming up. 6'3", 4'3" speed. That kind of tells you those two elements right there.
Right, your ears already perked up.
Tall, fast, winner. We're going on. But that's a really intriguing one. He's a guy that they'll want to develop. And again, like Chris Olave gets hurt, you're no longer saying, oh, well, I wonder if Mason Tipton can play at the NFL level. You're saying, we got this like really fast 6'3 dude who has really good tape that we can develop in the background. Assuming he makes the roster, that's the big question. It's like, okay, do any of these picks get cut because there's just going to be a roster crunch? Fifth round, Lorenzo Styles Jr. out of Ohio State, the brother of Sonny Styles.
What a family, right?
His dad actually was at school with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy is 4.27 speed, and he said that he probably could have gone faster, but he was dealing with a labrum issue that he had surgery on, right? So he said if he could run with his normal form, he would have been in the low 4.2s. So you're talking about speed, speed, speed. We're not even done yet. Lorenzo Styles Jr. is a cornerback, safety type. They call him... They really refer to guys as DBs now. They don't really kind of break everybody up in cornerback and safety. I think it's kind of like you're either an outside corner and you're a potential starting outside corner, or you're a DB and you can play pretty much anywhere. So he's going to be an option in the slot. He took 200-plus snaps in the slot last year for Ohio State. He's going to be an option at deep safety. He could be an option at returner. Just an elite athlete. Again, he's coming back from a labrum issue, so he might not be ready for camp, but this is a really good developmental option. That was the fifth rounder.
If you haven't seen the social media, that 100-yard kick return that he had for Ohio State.
And it was the first one for Ohio State in forever, which is kind of crazy to think about. But yeah, he was the pick that they got back in the Rashid Shaheed trade. So you replaced the guy who, I don't know, I have always assumed Rashid Shaheed had 4.2 speed. He has never run a timed 40, and you effectively replace him with a 4.27 guy. So really intriguing guy. And then, wouldn't you know it, more speed! Berrion Brown, LSU wide receiver, number 190, the highest LSU draft pick they've taken in quite some time. In the sixth round, number 190 overall, very, very excited. Very excited to be a Saint. When he did a Zoom call, every like two or three minutes, every 10 or 15 words, he had to like stop himself and yell like, let's go! it was very funny. And I heard him on WWL as well. Like, just very excited. And that's been a theme for a lot of these guys. Just incredibly excited, thankful, grateful. Several of them looks like they were in tears. Oscar Delp, when we talked to him, looked like he had been in tears. Jeremiah Wright was actively in tears when he spoke to the media. And then the final pick, which you got back in the trade for Tyree Wilson, TJ Hall, cornerback out of Iowa, kind of a ho-hum pick when you consider a lot of the other guys. But, you know, just another guy who can compete to be a core special teamer for you. So, I don't know, man. I wasn't sure what
to
expect.
What stood out to me was definitely the speed in this draft that was acquired.
They invested in the offense, right? They looked at what happened last year, and they said, this cannot stand. That's exciting, man.
We cannot score one touchdown in the first quarter all season.
Well, right. And like, you look at what happened last year, and there's a lot to like with how the offense kind of developed over the course of the year with
after
Tyler
halftime.
Shuck. Just conceptually, just some of the things you were able to get done. Chris Olave had a really strong season. Juwan Johnson had a really strong season. But, you know, I think they're tired of this idea that, like, hey, we're just trying to make ends meet on offense. Like, no, we're going to have a surplus on offense. We're going to have more speed than we know what to do with, so that when guys go down, you're not looking at, oh, week 18. Oh, I wonder if Ronnie Bell can catch a ball. Let's see it. Let's try it out. Samari Toure, do you have hands attached to your body? You can catch something, right? That's not where you're going to be anymore, because you've invested in the offense. And, you know, like, I would have liked to see a slot corner, right? And we're going to hear from Mickey Loomis and some more about these picks and why they made them. But I'm okay with outscoring people, you know? I prefer that to a 10-12 game. Let's do it. Let's put some points up.
Like I said, last year, too, was just miserable. The start of games, there were so many times you were just stuck in the mud, couldn't get things going, and they just seemed like the offense started getting clicking after halftime, whatever was the magic juice when they hit the locker room. And it was like, what were the keys? What were the coaches' keys to turning things around? And we've talked about it so much. You don't have time to make adjustments at halftime, really.
No. The athlete's got an athlete, right? And for so long, it's felt like the Saints, you know, they had pieces. They had winning players. But I felt for a long time that the Saints were not the more athletic team on the field in a lot of the matchups you watched.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they just seemed like, in whether it was age catching up with people or whether it was just, hey, you haven't brought in track stars. Right? You know, one of the jokes Mickey Loomis made was like, we could put together one heck of a relay team with some of these guys. And it's true. Like, just put speed on the field, and not just speed, but versatile speed, right? Jordan Tyson is 6'2". Bryce Lance is 6'3". You know, you have Devon Vele, who's 6'4". So you're not just, you don't have this kind of lineup of little small fast guys. You got this lineup, you got a basketball lineup now. Could probably get some rebounds out of the deal too. So yeah, I'm excited. I like how this class turned out, even if, you know, we get halfway through the year and be like, man, there's some pieces you probably should have added on the defensive side of the ball. We'll worry about that next year.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest question is cornerback maybe right now, looking at the depth there. We have Kool-Aid McKinstry, you know, along with last year's rookie why am I forgetting his name?
Quincy Riley.
Quincy Riley, thank you. I wanted to say Quincy Wright, and I was like, knew that wasn't right.
Close.
Rajon Wright we also have in the mix. But you look at the star role, that's a big question still as well, with Alante Taylor taking off for Tennessee.
Yeah, I think you need to add a player to at least compete, even if your goal is to have Julian Blackman in that role, and say Jonas Sanker and Jay Reed are your safeties. I don't know. Like, I like Julian Blackman. I think he's a good player. I don't think you can go into the season and say, yeah, I know you've had back-to-back major shoulder injuries, and we're not sure whether you can be on the field for 17 games, but that's going to be our bet, is that you play 17 games this year. After not being able to make it through one healthy last year. So I think you invest at least to some degree in a guy who can compete there. I also think Ike Yiadom, from a cornerback depth perspective on the outside, is okay. Like, I would love a little more upside as a young developing corner.
Yeah.
But Ike is always the guy for me that when you go into a season with him as the starter, you could probably do better than that. But when you look around the league and you say, hey, I just want kind of a high floor backup,
right,
who can be kind of a key
depth
piece on special
guy,
teams,
whatever, yeah,
right? He's going to be one of your key gunners and jammers and guys in that phase of the game. I think you're okay with that as depth. I want a one kind of young developing corner. I don't think TJ Hall is that.
Plus, everyone always says great stuff about him in the locker room.
Ike?
Yeah.
Ike's a good dude. Yeah.
We like Ike.
We like Ike. I like Ike. Be like Ike. And if, I don't know if they brought back Michael Davis, but last year they had Mike and Ike as their as their gunners. That was fun. One time Phil Galliano went up there and he referred to them as Ike and Mike, and we were like, why did you do that? And he was like, I don't know. I didn't feel like talking about the candy, but we did anyway.
So yeah, the Saints also, we alluded to earlier, traded the pick number 150. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to know if that constituted trading down, that seventh round pick was the Iowa corner and TJ Hall there.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that was just kind of a throw-in pick. And we'll see. Like,
Did you think the Saints might take Garrett Nussmeier?
You know, we'll talk more about Garrett. I feel so bad for Garrett.
It was rough.
I mean, you talk about draft slides, and you could tell, like, when he got drafted, it was like, you could tell that was a rough day. Like, they put the camera on that room. You almost wish they hadn't, because, like, they had a rough weekend. And you feel for them.
But then you look at the sunshine at the end of that is the fact that he ends up going to Kansas City with Andy Reid.
And Jake Haener. And he's going to compete with Jake Haener probably for that QB3 role. They have Justin Fields over there, who will be probably the week one starter until Mahomes gets healthy, assuming he's not
Which
ready
is wild
to go.
To think about, right.
And then whoever's behind him is probably going to be on that roster, right? Or at least on the practice squad. So he's got to beat out Jake Haener, because teams don't keep four quarterbacks. A lot of times they'll keep three, especially when you have a guy coming off an injury. So it's kind of interesting to see that. But yeah, I mean, from a situation standpoint, he can't be upset about where he went. You just wish it happened four rounds earlier. Because when you're a seventh-round draft pick, you get treated like a seventh-round draft pick, right? There's literally nothing guaranteed to you.
Well, then we started having that conversation off mic. It's like, as later as it went on, it's like, well, heck, you might as well go undrafted at this point and just get to pick where you want to go.
Yeah, you say that until you are an undrafted guy and you're like, man, you get treated differently as an undrafted guy, right? Like, you're basically on the cut line when you walk in the door as an undrafted guy. So at least it gives you a chance to be in that mix. And
well, that's why you get to pick your situation. So you kind of look at where the ideal spot to at least start as a backup.
It's easy to say that, except they still can say no, right? There's a lot of teams, all 32 teams passed on you. It's not like they're all going to call you now and be like, hey, we want you here. So you may have three or four teams to choose from, and you get to pick your best situation from that. But you probably would have ended up with the Chiefs anyway, given that situation. So, no, I mean, I and I don't understand it. Like, I guess maybe the back's health where it's not...
the cyst on the spine area?
Yeah, it's not completely resolved. Like, it's not going to be something that affects him, but maybe it does down the road. Maybe that scared some teams off. But, you know, I didn't see Mel Kiper freaking out about this one like he did last year. So I don't know. And maybe it's because Doug Nussmeier is such a diva. Right, like they just teams just didn't want to deal with all the drama that came with the Nuss. I'm just kidding. That's a Shadur joke, but yeah, maybe they'll have a reality show about the Nussmeyers like they have about the Sanderses.
Keeping up with the Nusses, get on the Nuss bus.
The Nuss bus, yeah. It's got a name built in. Let's do it.
We're here on our WWL Saints Draft Recap Show, folks. You can chime in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Let me and Jeff know what you think about this year's class. We're going to come back with more here from GM Mickey Loomis right after the break here on WWL Saints Radio. Who dat? Getting that groove going this morning here, Who Dat Nation. Tomorrow, we'll let you folks know, tomorrow at 4, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and draft analyst Mike Dottiglia will have a draft second guess. Will this year's draft class make the Saints a better squad? Call in and give your takes with Bobby and Mike and tell us which player you're excited most about. Saints football with our two Cajuns, Bobby and Mike, tomorrow, 4 to 7 p.m. on WWL and the free Odyssey app. After that will be the Jay Johnson Show, and LSU baseball has been struggling.
I am not talking about LSU baseball today. This is
no. I know it's our Saints draft recap.
This is a Saints show.
But the Tigers have
LSU baseball can't hurt us today.
They're in danger of getting swept in back-to-back SEC series.
Yeah, I already told you what's going to happen, Steve.
The Tigers better
stop teeing me up for it.
Take down Mississippi State today. You'll have that pregame right here, 12:30, WWLAMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. First pitch is at 1 o'clock. We wanted to get into some audio. We've got a ton of it yesterday after the draft. You know what? And before we get into things here, I thought things started out really on fire with the timing of things. The first and second and third round seemed to move by. And maybe it's just me being a cranky old man in day three. They just seemed to drag out a lot more.
No, I don't think it dragged out any more than usual.
It was just more picks.
It's just every year you get to the day three and you forget how many picks there really are, especially in that seventh round. Like the seventh round, the round that people care about less than any other, takes the longest of any because there's so many picks. And it's just kind of, especially when you have where the Saints are. I mean, they actually traded and got a pick in the seventh round at number 219, but it was early in the seventh round. So, I mean, you're waiting 40, 50 picks that you're not even on the board seeing who's there. But, I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, that's what the event is. It's not it was never supposed to be a spectator sport. The seventh round of the draft was never made, or I guess the last few rounds. There used to be a lot more rounds.
Yeah.
But the last few picks of the draft were not intended for television.
And you saw the attendance in Pittsburgh.
It was like 800,000 people.
The NFL is laughing their butts off.
It's crazy. My wife saw the picture that Jordan Tyson took with the selfie, which apparently every time the Saints draft a wide receiver in the top 15, they're going to take a selfie because Chris Olave had a very similar looking selfie. And she was like, oh, there's Saints fans there. That's cool. How do you get to be one of the Saints fans that goes to the draft? And I just sent her back a picture of like the crowd. And I was like, hey, they'll let you go. they're not turning anybody down. Because, I mean, you're talking about... I mean, this is like Woodstock out there. Like the crowd is insane. I don't understand it. Like, what are you getting from being the last person in the back? Just because you can say, "Hey, see that little dot? See that little dot over there?"
That's me. I would think they have the interactive stations at least around the event, like they did at the convention center here, kind of for Super Bowl.
I'm choosing to believe it's kind of like going to Times Square to watch the New Year's Eve where they put you in a pen
here.
And you're like, well, we were there, but then halfway through, you're like, can I leave? Nope. You're going to have to pee where you're standing. Because how do you move through that crowd? It doesn't make sense. Anyway, and it's like you're there to watch a bunch of like 20-year-old kids get jobs. But no, I It was nice. It's what has been nice for the Saints the last few years is they made a lot of picks. And whether that is a plan or
absolutely, they're getting younger.
They're getting younger, but you know, you don't need 9-8 picks to get younger. Like, you could get younger with six players, but I just think
I think with Kellen in too, you're getting his regime, his guys are coming in right now.
I think that's part of it. There's a turnover. I also think there's just a level of the more darts you get to throw at the board, the more likely you're gonna hit. Right.
Bullseye, baby.
And that's been the issue. Like, I know a lot of people think the Saints are just terrible at drafting. And there's a lot of instances where you're like, man, that was a bad pick. You know, Peyton Turner, bad pick. Marcus Davenport, you know, if you had just taken him at 28 where you were sitting or whatever it was, I don't think it would have been as damaging, but you traded an extra first rounder, went up and got him, and just wasn't good, right? And you have a few others. Isaiah Foskey, just not a good pick. But, like, every team misses on picks, right? The Eagles, great drafting team. They took Jalen Reagor one pick before Justin Jefferson. Like,
thanks for reminding me of that one.
But what allowed them to save themselves is they made more picks, right? And they follow the consensus board a lot. They take a lot of high floor players. They take a lot of Georgia players. And so you kind of forget because there's so many players to kind of throw in and be like, yeah, take that guy out of the equation. You got this guy, right? But when you're the Saints and you're only making 5-6 picks a draft, when you miss on one of those, if you only make 5 picks and you miss on one of them, 20% of your draft was a miss, right? And so adding more names to the equation and feeling like, hey, okay, this guy might not be good, but you know, what are the odds that both of them are bad? You know? And I think that's just a method of drafting that has worked for other teams, and it seems to be kind of what the Saints are leaning into, is throw bodies at the problem. You need to rebuild the roster. There's the more opportunities you have to take a player and develop him, the better chances you have of those players hitting.
After all those picks finally came off the board, we heard from Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, and he started out things with Mickey's got jokes.
Well, I didn't trade up, and we drafted an LSU player, so there shouldn't be any questions.
One question. Do you consider getting 219 back in the trade for Tyree Wilson, trading down?
Well, do you guys?
I do.
Oh, come on.
It's a big debate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you are in the camp, I'm thinking, that considers it is a trade down for the Saints.
Well, I think it's at least a conversation where people are like, it's not a trade down. I'm like, then what is the definition of a trade down, right? You had a pick, you traded that pick, and you got back a lower pick. You also got a player, right? But again, is the definition of a trade down not trading one pick for multiple assets, one of which is a lower pick? Because that's how I would define it.
You also got back a guy that was drafted 7th overall.
Yeah, well, what the counter argument would be is you did not trade for the 219 pick. You traded for Tyree Wilson, and the 219 pick was a throw-in.
A throw-in, exactly. That's how I look at it.
If there was, and you could say, like, okay, if you only traded for Tyree Wilson, the pick wasn't there, it's not a trade down. And the 219 pick is virtually a non-entity in terms of it's basically just a UDFA that you got to sign early. So, like, I it's not really a trade down. It's just a question of, we go into next year's draft, are we going to be able to say the Saints have not traded down in 20 years?
Yes.
Or is it going to be the Saints kind of traded down? Because I think either way, you do have to note it, right?
There was a kind of.
Because
no.
It was a draft trade that you did not trade up. So what is it?
The 7th round pick you got in return was Lanyap. In the deal.
I guess, but like, so what do you call it? Just a trade?
Yeah, it's just a trade.
It's just a trade, but you ended up making a 7th round pick instead of a 5th round pick.
But you got a former 2nd round pick. I mean, 7th overall pick, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's an interesting conversation, and I was curious if Mickey was going to claim it. He kind of did as a joke later on in the presser, but I think we can still comfortably say the Saints haven't traded down, like in the spirit of what a trade down is supposed to be. But this was a debate that was going on. I don't know. I just like to argue, so that's kind of where I'm at with it. I don't really care. But
point and counterpoint, right?
I am going to make the debate. Like, a lot of times I'll argue with people and they'll think I'm like really passionate about some really stupid take.
You just like to stir.
It's like, well, I'm just bored, guys. I just like to stir the pot, you know? I need stimulation here.
Jeff likes friction.
I do. I'm never going to be the guy that just sits here and agrees with you, even if you're right.
Mickey was asked about the high emotions from these draft picks. Jeff, you mentioned it. Day one, Jordan Tyson coming out ended up being like a highlight reel moment for him that everybody latched onto because of how spiritual it was and how emotional he got over it. Then some of the other guys, too. But Mickey, on the emotions from all these draft picks, sounded off about that.
You know, one thing that caught my eye in this last day was, and really the whole thing, is how emotional and passionate a lot of these guys were. I know you guys could feel that on those Zoom calls afterwards, and we certainly felt it on the calls when, you know, we talked to the guys and to tell them that they were going to become New Orleans Saints, and that was really cool.
Yeah, you see the, like I mentioned, the Jordan Tyson moment.
Yeah.
I laughed. Someone tweeted out, I retweeted them, was the fact that my grandma's going to see this and buy 4 Jordan Tyson jerseys.
No, and like that does give you a picture. And I talked to Charlie about this yesterday. Like, I didn't spend a whole lot of time going in on, okay, who is Jordan Tyson as a person, right? Like, in the pre-draft process, I'm looking at tape. I'm looking
medicals.
At highlights, you know, talking about medical history, talking about fit. You're talking about the player on the field.
Correct.
But what you learn in the draft process, and once these players get picked and you get to talk to them, okay, who is this player when he's not on the field? Who is this player when he's on the practice field? Who is this player when he's in the meeting room and behind the scenes? And that's so much of the draft process, and it becomes such a small percentage of all the things we talk about in the months where we have nothing to talk about but the draft.
Because we don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could know. But how,
if you cover the team,
how much time do you have?
Team.
Right. How much time do you have to dive in on a prospect that the Saints might draft?
Sure.
Right. You only have time to do kind of glance analysis of every player and what their skills are and what they bring. And, you know, you talk about risk analysis and that sort of thing. But then you sit and you talk to Jordan Tyson. And Kellen Moore described him as a football junkie, right?
Love
like his
that.
Passion for the game, how much he cares about the game, how he thinks about the game, right?
Like all ball.
All ball, all entertainment. You know, he went on a show, like there's a show called Snapback Sports, that's like a YouTube show.
I saw you repost
and they
that.
Have this kind of like what I will describe as a guys being dudes type game where they just sit on a couch and they flash up players and whoever just yells out that player's name first gets a point. And it's like, oh, this is Brandon Whedon with the Cowboys and guys like Case Keenum, you know, stuff like that. And you know, they sit there and play these games all day long. It's just like you go to a bar and that's what you do. You're like, oh, remember this guy? I'm like, oh, I remember that guy. It's like what every dude does when they're just hanging out in a room. And Jordan Tyson went on that show and he won that game. Like, yeah. He won it going away. He won like 8-5. And it's just a good example of like the guy is a football junkie. He loves the game of football. And I think there is a disconnect between, hey, this guy got hurt, so he's soft and he doesn't care, right? But like there are some players like that, right? Like those players do exist. But there's a big difference when the player it's like, yeah, that guy got hurt, but it wasn't a product of a lack of effort. It wasn't a product of being lazy. It was bad luck and maybe not understanding what caused it. And now that you understand it, now that you know you sit there and you're like, "Oh, my hips are too tight." So I'm going to put the work in to loosen up my hips so that my hamstrings are, my glutes are activated, my hamstrings are getting the energy they need, and I'm not overexerting another part of my body to compensate. And that's all part of being a pro, and that's all part of understanding how to stay on the field. And so I'm okay with a guy getting hurt when I believe that he knows why he got hurt, and he's going to do everything he can to prevent that type of injury from happening again. It's a lot different when you have a guy that's like, yeah, I just show up and ball. It's not about the process for me. I'm just that good, you know, and not no one's going to say that, but that is the case for some people. And identifying who those people are and who are the kind of gym rat players that are going to get better at the NFL level, not just kind of level off, is the key to drafting well. Like I look at a Vic Beasley. Remember Vic Beasley with the Falcons?
Right.
He led the league in sacks 1 year. Then he's out of the league 2 years later because he didn't happen to have a passion for football. He was just that elite of an athlete, right? Marcus Davenport, I feel like that was one of the issues you had with him too. So that's why I really think like once you really dig into who Jordan Tyson is, and like, yeah, if he gets hurt and he's off the field constantly, it's a bad pick. But I understand why the Saints felt okay with it.
Well, you teed it up. Here's Mickey Loomis on why the Saints were comfortable with Jordan Tyson's medical history.
What is it that makes a team comfortable with that? Is it as simple as looking at medical records and saying maybe this won't reoccur? How much does a player's attitude?
Yeah, I think it all comes into play. All of it is, you know, all of it comes into play. I think oftentimes you're looking for, do any of these injuries, are they causing problems right now? Are they symptomatic right now? Do they keep, you know, are they the kinds of things that are going to keep somebody from practicing every day? You know, is it a situation where if it's a knee, does it swell up every day, and do you have to have a lot of rest days? What's the likelihood of a recurring injury? You know, one of the realities of football is that there's a lot of injuries in our game. And guys, you know, how resilient are they? So there's a lot of variables.
A plan already to take care of his body and how he would prevent things from happening again. Obviously, sometimes you can't, but I don't know if, you know, when you talk to him, that is a factor.
That is a factor. I think that, and I would say this as, you know, these guys are young guys for the most part, right? They're you know, 21, 22, 23 years old. And they're just learning that, you know, some of the things that they're doing off the field can impact, you know, their availability. And you know, a lot of guys don't learn that until they get to the league. And I think we're pretty sophisticated as a league. Our strength and conditioning and our performance coaches are pretty sophisticated in terms of preventing injuries and doing things that you know, can help you stay on the field. And so we'll help him in that regard. And obviously it's important to him. And that's one of the things that you're looking for. You're looking for guys that want to be on the field all the time. They don't want to miss practice. You know, it bothers them to be in the training room. So, they're all variables that we consider.
That was Mickey Loomis talking about Jordan Tyson's medical history there. And, yeah, you look at what he's been through. I thought it was interesting the perspective, too, that he gave. We'll hear a little bit later on, not really a hamstring issue, it's more like hip.
Yeah. And you appreciate the amount of detail he went into there, because it means he's taken the time and he's thought about it and he cares about it. I also think, like, part of the emotions there were, just think about where he was at. And he spent all this whole process being told, you're injury prone. No one's going to take a chance on you. You're too big of a risk. You're too big of a gamble. I think that's, you know, it's like, okay, bet. Right? Like, now I want the guy who's going to go prove you wrong.
Saints, a part of a little sports history. The first brothers drafted in the first round to play in two different sports.
It's not true, actually.
No?
I saw that tweet as well, but it's completely wrong.
Debunked. I got had.
It wasn't even close to being true. It was just like, there was a couple that had different names, but they were brothers. I believe Mark McGwire, his brother was a first-round pick in the NHL, and he was a first-round pick in baseball. That's like the most obvious answer, but it's like, I think they were talking about major sports in terms of major American sports. So maybe you ignore hockey and you say football, baseball, basketball. But no, we need to erase that from our
strike
from
that
our list
from the record.
It's not true.
I'm gonna get flagged for time management here by Mario. Heading to break right now. We'll be back with more sports talk, our Saints draft recap edition, right after this. Who dat, folks? Hanging out here on a rainy Sunday to start. Now the clouds are kind of have that sun peeking through. Good for the Jazz Fest crowd that's heading out to the fairgrounds today. Third day or fourth day of Jazz Fest, right? Because it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You are correct, sir.
Be attending next weekend. How about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can get out there for some T-Pain.
That's what my kiddo wants to see, so that's what I'm going to take him to do.
I'm going to take home with me. Bye. Anyway, you got it.
I'm just hoping they do the I'm on a Boat song from SNL.
I'm on a boat. I can't say the rest.
No, you can't. We're back here on our Saints draft recap show. Black and Gold getting 8 draft picks, plus made a trade to acquire another guy. So I guess you could say 9 new prospects, players in total added to this roster.
Yeah, added to a roster that also added Travis Etienne, David Edwards, Caden Ellis, and Noah Fant.
Nice free agency haul as well.
Right? So
building, like, baby.
I mean, so many pieces. This is going to be one of the more fun training camps we have. A, in terms of, okay, all these new players out there and what can they do? B, in terms of, well, who is that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Because they're going to be all these new faces that we're just not used to. Like, memorizing numbers is good. Mike Haas is going to have a heck of a time trying to memorize these numbers. But I'm excited for it.
At least there were no difficult names drafted this year that he'll have to get acquainted with.
That is true. And Bobby appreciates that as well.
Are you talking about some of the athleticism in this year's class? Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis talked about drafting those elite athletes with speed, height, etc., all those great intangibles.
Was this a mission pre-draft, the emphasis on getting offensive weapons? Did you expect before we started to walk away with 4 guys?
I don't know that we expected 4, but look, we wanted to add in that area. We wanted to add speed to our team, which we did. I think, one thing I think we drafted a heck of a relay team if we want to go that route. So, look, I think there was a little something for everyone, offense, defense, and special teams, and I think that's a good thing for us.
You also joked about the track speed that you acquired today, but is that coincidental, or was that a specific emphasis?
No, I think that probably somewhere in between, right? You always want to add speed to your team. And look, we lost, Rashid last year, and that's a big element of his game, and so we wanted to add that. We wanted to add some return ability. We got that, so it was conscious to add some speed to our rooms.
You all got a lot taller at wide receiver since last year. Was that an active plan? Is it just kind of how it happened?
A little bit, yeah. Size is good in the NFL, right?
Size is good.
And I know he kind of brushed that question off, but they have 14 wide receivers on the roster right now. You know how many are listed under 6 feet tall?
One.
Mason Tipton. Like, think about last year, and we're talking about Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks, Chris Olave, and they kind of brushed off like, hey, do you guys need a big receiver? Now they have 6'4", 6'3", 6'2", 6'1". They got it all. And even a guy like Damian Alford is 6'6".
So now heard that check.
I mean, it's a completely different offensive weaponry than they had before.
Rolling out the break here in our Saints draft recap on WWL. We'll be back with even more right after this, folks. Stay tuned on WWL. That's a wrap on our hour one of our Saints draft recap. Next hour, we're going to get into more with the draft picks and hear from them. Also, Dalton Wasserman, NFL and college football analyst, host of the Preferred Walk-On College Football Show, will join us. Not just talking about Saints, all the other draft picks around the NFL. Also, get into the LSU players that we'll take and hear from us more on our draft recap edition. I almost said Draft Fest, but, Draft Fest continues here on WWL. Now it's time for Top of the Hour News. We'll be back with more right after this on WWL.